Welcome to the College Football Bros. I'm Michael Newman.
And I'm Trey Newman.
The coaching carousel is never ending this year. And we had a big hire at Boston College. They feels like it's been a long time since this happened, but
Michael, we haven't talked since the Super Bowl either. Like, pretty incredible game.
It was just amazing. Would you like to go back and forth and debate whether they should have chosen to kick or receive in overtime?
I will full on admit, though. Well, I knew that part, like that you should have. Well, I don't know. I guess it's not clear cut as it is, like maybe in college or something. But the only thing I was going to admit is that I did not know about the way that when the time ended, that like it didn't since they were still on their only that second possession, it would have just been like a quarter. They would have just had a pause. In my head, watching it live, I thought that they were just going to have to like kick off again.
You made me look like a complete idiot because we were together watching the game, all the bros and the fam, we were together watching the game, and I don't really follow the NFL like I used to, so I wasn't aware of the overtime rules. So I asked you, I'm like, hey, what's the deal here? This clock's running down. Like, what happens if it goes to zero? And I think you kind of waffled, but said like, yeah, it might just be over.
I didn't think it would be over, but I was thinking I lost, you know, I'm holding a kid and I like lost my, I just remember saying like, timeout, call timeout.
Yelling like a maniac to call timeout.
What are we doing? Yeah. Like, don't let it be like one play. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyways, I knew that they'd have a chance to score even if the Niners got a touchdown. But yeah, that was Mahomes is just a freak. He's just a freak.
Yeah. I saw some tweet. I'm not going to get the facts right because I just read it once, but it was something like, you know, in the last 20 years, there's been X amount of circumstances where do you remember the tweet?
No, but I know what you're talking. I've seen a bunch of different like Mahomes.
Yeah. Something like stats. You're down or tied with one possession left or with, you know, late in the fourth quarter, whatever.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Typically teams score 50% of the time or something. And Mahomes is 7 for 7 in those scenarios.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just crazy. And even like they listed like Drew Brees was like 3 for 6. Tom Brady was like 7 of 14. And yeah, he's just what also is crazy about this particular playoff run, they were underdogs in 3 straight games on the road. At Buffalo, at Baltimore, and then, you know, neutral Super Bowl. But you just can't beat the guy.
No, especially when you got Joe Biden pulling the strings. I mean, that's
right, right. Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Stop it.
Yeah, Joe and Taylor. So, anyways, yeah, that was wild.
I don't know how we started talking about that, but Boston College has
natural segue.
Hired Bill O'Brien after he was Ohio State's offensive coordinator. Just a great run as the Ohio State
incredible
OC for a few weeks there. But yeah, what do you think? Do you think this is a good hire?
I mean, again, it's one of those where you get so late in the game, it's Boston College was kind of left with not many options. And I think kind of reading the room, I don't think Ohio State fans are sad about this. So
no,
I think it kind of works for both parties. Like, you know, I will say he actually did kind of well at Penn State, given what he had to inherit after the Joe Pa era. Like he recruited Hackenberg and they had some competitive teams. Like, so he knows the Northeast and Boston College. They really needed that offense to improve and it should under him. You know, he doesn't necessarily move the needle a ton in recruiting, but all things considered, I think it's okay.
Yeah, no, I think for Boston College, I assume their NIL is not very good. I don't think it's the most desirable job out there. They're, of course, not in the Power 2, and they're one of the lower-tier programs in the ACC. So, I mean, it's Bill O'Brien. Yeah, he ended up failing, but he had a long run in the NFL. And
yeah,
his failures at the end were mostly kind of as a GM. And like you said, he did a fine job at Penn State, given the circumstances. I think it's solid hire. He's from Boston.
Yeah.
Why not?
We're in sync there. All right. Speaking of Ohio State, which I mentioned, They hired UCLA head coach Chip Kelly as offensive coordinator. So what do you think kind of from both sides?
Yeah, we've got another sitting head coach leaving for a coordinator job. I mean, with Chip Kelly, clearly he knew he was on a major hot seat there. Most UCLA fans wanted him fired after this past season.
Yeah.
And he really seemed to be a guy with, I don't think he would particularly enjoy being a college head coach in normal circumstances of recruiting, yeah. But with the NIL and having to navigate all of that, transfer portal these days, that just doesn't seem like...
I mean, it was clear. He proved it in the way he recruited the last few years.
He didn't recruit high schoolers, basically. I mean, he didn't seem to try very hard there. So he said, okay, I'll just go take a really good job as an offense coordinator, working with Ryan Day, who, of course, he coached at New Hampshire and has Ryan Day's coached under him in the NFL. So kind of a good fit. I think for Ohio State, yeah. I still think Chip Kelly's a good offensive coach. They didn't have a good offense this year. It was a down year, but for the most part, they had good offenses while he was at UCLA. And now, of course, he's going to have a ton more talent to work with. Will Howard, kind of, I could see, you know, with the running ability, sure, working out in a Chip Kelly offense. So I like it for Ohio State. As for UCLA, I mean, I guess they sort of got what they wanted in getting rid of Chip Kelly, just because even though, like, the last few seasons they were doing wins and losses.
They were really doing
fine. But just the trajectory, it seemed to be going like it was going to go down rather than up. So, but the problem is the timing. If they would have fired him at the end of the season, they'd have all these candidates to choose from. And now it's kind of, we'll get to it, but you're in a tough spot. There weren't a lot of good guys available.
Yeah, they could have had, you know, Jed Fish or Jonathan Smith, mm-hmm, or who knows. But yeah, I am curious though. I think I think being an offensive coordinator is more in line with what Chip Kelly wants. And we're gonna kind of see, I guess, Ohio State offensive coordinator, it's one of those jobs that maybe it's, you know, especially with Ryan Day, it's hard to fail. But like, I personally do want to see if Chip still kind of has it, because he did at Oregon and he showed flashes of it obviously at UCLA, and then with his NFL stint, you didn't know if it was just like declining, everyone kind of caught up to him, or now he can like devote all his energy to that and maybe he'll kind of have a rebirth. So it'll be interesting to watch. That kind of leads to the other side is UCLA hiring DeShaun Foster.
Yes, there's a name, DeShaun Foster, running backs coach for the Las Vegas Raiders. A great stint there for a few weeks. It's basically an internal hire for UCLA. DeShaun Foster replacing Chip Kelly as their head coach. He's been UCLA's running backs coach since 2007. Basically, his entire coaching career has been with, or sorry, not 2007, 2017.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's been 7 years.
But he's basically been at UCLA his whole coaching career. He had, I think it was 1 year at Texas Tech, but for the most part, he's all Bruin. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those that you'd obviously, like we laid out, like, I don't know, he probably wouldn't have been a coach there if this happened a month ago, but this is where the way the chips fell. And it might be a blessing in disguise. Kelly's
fell.
And that's true. Yeah, good point. It might be a blessing in disguise in the sense for UCLA in that he's going to bring some enthusiasm, I think, to the not only the players but maybe the fan base. It did seem there's been murmurs between Mick Cronin on the basketball side and then obviously on the football side that the NIL isn't necessarily flush. So maybe he's able to kind of get some light. I heard an interview with him. He was on Jim Rome and he was talking about how after his introductory press conference, he had, different donors come up to him and offer him like, hey, we can help. Now, I don't know if they would have said that to anybody, but it'll be interesting to see if he can at least get some life into the program.
I love the video of him being introduced to the players as the head coach. They were pumped. They were fired up. That was really cool to see. that's, other than that though, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, just
no coaching chops to speak of. So
yeah, he has, it's, there weren't other big time college football programs or even medium time college football programs looking to hire him as head coach. So it's just kind of a, I guess he was their best option right now. And
it's going to really depend on who he hires as a staff around him.
Yeah. And the one thing though is it's going to be hard not to recruit better than Chip Kelly. So he'll probably have that going for him. He's, you know, relatively young guy, you know, is a former NFL player. I think he'll be able to, you know, recruit decently, you would think. But yeah, it's just like, I can't give this an A or even a B hire because it's like, so I don't know. Just one of those. We'll see what happens.
The Big Ten, new terrain for everyone there. All right. Alabama, another short-termer. Alabama offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb, formerly the Washington offensive coordinator, of course, left to become the Seahawks offensive coordinator.
Yet another very brief stint.
Yes.
Ryan Grubb at Washington or at Alabama. But the one thing, I didn't like the fact that they apparently, it was reported that they kind of delayed this for the 30-day transfer window. Yeah. They didn't want him to leave during that window and have maybe some players enter the portal. But I will say, if I'm an Alabama fan, and the one question of Kalen DeBoer is he going to play the SEC hardball, cutthroat stuff? Boom, he did it there. That is an SEC move. So
it really is. But would have recruits or like cared if Ryan Grubb left? Like, to me, it was all DeBoer. Like, agreed. This doesn't affect me in terms of like Alabama. I'm not worried. Alabama's offense, I don't think differently a week ago as I do today, like knowing this news.
I mean, maybe I feel like 10 or 15% worse because they lost the offensive line coach as well, who didn't Washington's O-line win the Joe Moore Award. They were up for it if they didn't win.
Maybe I undersold it, but it's
Grubb is highly respected. I know he's underneath DeBoer, so you don't know how much kind of credit to give him, but yeah, I can't imagine that many, if any, players would have transferred just because he left.
But it is, you knew, because he really wanted the Washington head job, of course, so I think he definitely had an affinity for the Seattle area, so it kind of worked out for him to go.
I wonder
go
if he sold route. His house yet, you know?
I hope not.
That might have been a nice signal that he was going to leave if he had put that thing on the market.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, it was interesting, but
they promoted from within. Nick Sheridan, the tight ends coach, is now the offensive coordinator. So they're just kind of, you got the continuity there.
Yeah. Yep.
And the last one, Georgia State head coach Sean Elliott left to become the tight ends coach at South Carolina. So yeah, keeps happening. The head coaches taking perceived demotions.
Yeah. And that's like mid spring ball had just started, I think, or there was about to start for that.
Yeah, they had to delay their, Georgia State had to kind of delay their spring game and spring practice because, they don't have a head coach.
That sucks. But it's another guy where he was kind of on the hot seat and he's from Columbia area. So it made sense, but it's just an odd thing to see nowadays.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to our main topic for the episode. Bill Connolly came out with his 2024 SP Plus rankings. Feels like those are coming out earlier and earlier every year. Maybe not, just at least it feels that way. But number one, Georgia. Number two, Ohio State. Three, Oregon. Four, Texas. And five, Michigan. That was the top five. But what stood out to you anywhere else or from that top five?
I guess I'll just start in the top five, and I'm going to sit on this one this year, and it's Michigan at fifth. Now, I understand why they are, well, I mostly obviously understand why they're fifth. They're being propped up by a lot of recent success, so some of the priors that are baked into this ratings definitely help. I don't know. I'm really going to need to see it with this team before I believe it. Like losing Harbaugh.
Yeah, they suck. You think they're going to suck?
I
No,
I'm almost there. Like, I'm like, I don't know why. Like, maybe they're just, I'm just such an idiot, but like losing everyone on their staff, new quarterback, new offensive line, new linebackers. And then like their schedule, like, you know, I'm not, this is, we're going to get in the off season, but they got Texas, USC, Oregon, Ohio State. Like, I don't know. I understand why they're fifth, but there's a part of me with everything they lose is like, yeah, I don't
know. I'm with you. I mean, to some extent, at least,
because there
it is tough. Because then you have to,
My last point was because along with the SP Plus ratings, he also had the returning production rankings the earlier that week, and they're 128th. So,
yeah,
it's a lot to overcome. But they, I mean, they got good players too. It's not like they're bums.
But you're 128th in returning production, and you don't recruit like Alabama and
They don't
Georgia
just totally replenish.
And yeah, like you said, so I agree. I think that, I mean, SP Plus rankings don't take into account that they lose a bunch of their staff, and I think that's huge in this case. So yeah, I agree. They're probably overrated. My I guess first takeaway just from looking at the top of the list was that the sport is now officially dominated by the Big Ten and the SEC. Of the top 15, we have 13 of 15 are from those two conferences. You've got nine SEC teams in the top 15, four Big Ten teams, and then Notre Dame and Florida State. Because with Texas and OU moving to the SEC and Oregon moving to the Big Ten, just that imbalance is even more dramatic.
Yeah, it kind of sucks because I was just like, I looked at the ACC and like you said, they got Florida State at 12th, but like Clemson and Miami are 16th and 21st. It's just, it's not an elite year. It's looking to be not an elite year for the ACC because even with Florida State at 12th, they have a lot to replace with Jordan Travis. You know, Norvell did well in the portal. And then Clemson, that's kind of the point to me too, though, is like, this is just becoming like their spot. Like, they're good, but not great. And it's just kind of, I guess if that's what you want to be, there you go, Dabo, you're going to be 20th. And then Miami, you know, getting Cam Ward, they have a chance to be good, but we'll see with Cristobal. So
I think this is my last stand with Cristobal. I'm not going to drop him much in my coach rankings. And this is it. Yep. He needs to perform for me this
Stay
year.
Stay stern.
I'm bullish. Okay. Another thing I saw was, Matt Campbell. Matt Campbell is back for Iowa State. Because of course he peaked after that 2020 season, and his name was brought up for any big job that was coming up, like USC job, Washington job, the big ones. Even like people were looking ahead at Ohio State, like, ooh, I don't remember the timing, but if Ryan Day were to go to the NFL, like who would they get? And Matt Campbell was the name that would come up. And of course that has gone away. Because in 2022, Iowa State went 4-8. Kind of a fluky 4-8 though, really fluky 4-8. They had a ton of one score losses. But this past year they went, I believe, 7-6, and now they're number 2 in the nation in returning production. And so they are 22nd in this pre-spring SP Plus. So,
and they got better in the second half of the year. Cause remember didn't they get shut out to Ohio or something? Or they lost at Ohio.
Yeah, they lost to Ohio.
And like Campbell went off on that one fan or whatever, but yeah, then they got better. So that's encouraging. I like seeing that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Campbell, he's good. Like it.
He didn't just forget the coach. Yeah. One thing that kind of jumped out to me is Missouri at 11th. Like, I'm not saying this is the wrong spot at all. Like, it just might be surprising to the casual fan. They had that 11-2 year last year. Now Eli Drinkwitz kind of needs to prove that it wasn't a one-hit wonder. They lose Cody Schrader, a few more key players on the defensive back end. Their defensive coordinator left for LSU. But, you know, this year they're not going to take anyone by surprise. But I looked at their schedule. My gosh, they have a very favorable schedule. Their non-conference is Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College, and UMass.
Wow.
And then, so, you know, Boston College is your only potential loss there, and that's nice that you'll be a big favorite. And then in conference, they do play Alabama and Oklahoma, but they don't have to play teams like Ole Miss, LSU, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, or Florida. Like they drew very, very well out of conference and then even in conference. So
Kentucky and Florida are like, thank you, Trey. Thank you for
that was kind of like the list, like I had one to reach B a little right there. Yeah. I kept, but that's the point, is those were like they still didn't have to play those guys. It's just Mizzou at 11, kind of surprise.
I'm trying to think. Oh yeah, I was taking a look at some of the over unders at FanDuel, because they've got I think all of the Power Four, whatever, season one total win totals out, and I was looking at Oklahoma. I forget what they are in this SP Plus. I think they were around 15th, but but I was surprised to see. I think their win total was like 7.5 maybe. Maybe was it lower than that? Was it like 6.5? That you gonna check it out? Yeah, check it out while I'm talking here.
Yeah,
but the reason that it was so surprising to me was because their non-conference is for the most part a cakewalk, and so it just kind of shows you how they got a tough draw in the SEC. It just shows you how tough the SEC is, because if Oklahoma, you know, being a preseason top 15 team in the Big 12, their season win total will be like 9, 9.5, but it's tough in the SEC.
Win totals, we got SEC Oklahoma 7.5, and the under is minus 160.
Yeah, so basically 7.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And they are, you're right. They are like they're top 20 SP people. Yeah. So interesting.
Because they play, let me pull up their schedule. From memory, they play.
I know they play Alabama at home.
Okay. They play at Ole Miss. They play Tennessee.
They have to play Texas, of course.
They now I got the schedule. Yeah, they play Texas. They play at Missouri, at LSU.
Ooh, wow.
At Auburn. And their non-conference, it's not as easy as I let on, but it's
Troy, the toughest game?
Troy, Houston, Tulane, and I think that's Maine. So pretty easy.
Yeah, that's not, especially with Tulane losing. Yeah, okay. Interesting.
Anyway.
That's weird. They got Tulane's coach went to Houston. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to look at Texas A&M because, you know, they lost Jimbo. They got Mike Elko. They're 13th in SP Plus. And I think that's going to surprise a lot of people because they were 7-6 transitioning now, obviously to a new coach, but there's some talent there. He did very well in the portal, and they returned in Connolly's metric. They're 18th in returning production. They hired offensive coordinator Colin Klein. I think that could help with Connor Wigman's development. They got the Big Ten leader in sacks in the transfer portal from Purdue. And they had brutal luck in one score games last year. They were 0-4. So I don't know. I think Elko could surprise some people this year. I said this last year about A&M, but
no, you were, and so was I.
Different reasons.
We were kind of optimistic on A&M. But you look at their metrics last year, they were, like you said, I mean, you said the close losses, but they were a better team by the power ratings than you think.
Yeah.
All right. So the Big 12 in these ratings, it's exactly like we thought they were going to be. It is wide open. And there's a lot of good teams, right? Like we thought, but at least that we know of, no great teams. The top five Big 12 teams are ranked 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, and 22nd.
Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah. So there were 4 in a row right there and 5 out of 6 right in a row. And so those are Utah, K-State, Arizona, Oklahoma State, and Iowa State. And then you've got SMU 27th, TCU 32nd, West Virginia 34th, Kansas 35th. Like there's just one of those teams
Could
make the Big 12 title.
Totally. Because I kind of like those teams too.
Yeah, like Kansas making the Big 12 title, that wouldn't be a big surprise. I don't know their schedule, but so it's going to be fun, just like we thought.
Yeah. Yeah, K-State with losing Will Howard, I'll be interested. Like, Klieman's such a great coach, but they got that Avery Johnson. I'm be interesting to see if they can replace the offense. Because yeah, defense, I mean, I think, is supposed to be legit.
What's that?
I said the defense there is supposed to be legit, but they lost a lot on offense, like offensive line and Howard. But
Will Howard. It will be interesting to see the teams that, with this new NIL era, it's hard to keep two really good quarterbacks on the roster unless you're Oregon. Yeah. But K-State basically chose to go with Avery Johnson. It felt like it was like, you know,
yeah,
we can't afford to pay you both. And a similar thing happened at Oklahoma with Dillon Gabriel and Jackson Arnold. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out for both of those teams.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Oklahoma State, man, it's crazy. They're 20th. And last year they had those 10 wins. They finished 42nd. So there's a lot of optimism in these ratings. I mean, I guess you return Ollie Gordon, Alan Bowman, like Gundy, he ain't done, man. Just crazy. Can't bury him.
I thought he was done. I was leaning that way. But
well, speaking of that, I saw North Carolina is 58th. And
yeah, I had this one too.
Oh, okay. So we're thinking the same. So are you thinking like this has to be the start of the end of Mac here? Like, that's my take, is that they underachieved, you know, last year. They started well. The recruiting took a little bit of a step back this year because they were recruiting really well those first few years under Mac. And not like it was a terrible class, but wasn't his best. They're 127th in returning production. I don't know. I'm not too optimistic. Not that the ACC is really good.
Well, so that's the thing, is I was ready to come with a strong take of this is Mac Brown's last year. Like they're, you know, of course, losing Drake May, you said, so far down in returning production, they're don't appear to be a very good team this year. But and it seems like North Carolina fans, they're ready to move on. But the reason I can't come super strong with that take is their schedule is easy. Like,
I didn't look.
It's not going to be difficult for them to win 8 or 9 games. Okay.
Well, good, no, this is good because he has a fair chance to save himself and rally with a team that's not supposed to be really, really good. He could totally do it this year, and I would give him props.
What I would predict right now is they go 8-4, but they're not really very good. And so then what do you do?
But who are their wins? I don't know. It doesn't, you're not, doesn't sound like their schedule is all that tough.
Oh, North Carolina, I forgot. One of those teams that when you Google North Carolina ESPN and you click the first link, it doesn't work out for you. It goes to basketball. But here is their schedule. So their non-conference.
Their over-under is 8.5.
8.5, right?
That's under's favored, but still, it's 8.5.
Because of the schedule. So they play non-conference. They play at Minnesota, but they play Charlotte. Ooh, who's that? That's tested me. I'm looking at logos. I don't know who that is. Click it. North Carolina Central.
Oh, wow.
So that's a win. They play James Madison, who loses everybody.
Yeah, would have been tough last year.
And then they've got, I'll just list the teams. Duke, Pitt, Georgia Tech, Virginia, Florida State, Wake Forest, Boston College, NC State.
Yeah, it's just pretty easy schedule. The ACC is kind of like, yeah, it's one of those, it's going to be one of those years, it looks like, where almost anyone could beat anyone. Same with the Big 12.
They avoid Clemson and Miami.
Yeah, you're right.
And they avoid Kentucky and Florida too.
that's just good for them. Good for them. Good for them. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we were somewhat similar there with the Tar Heels. We'll see. How about this? Arizona is 19th, and they're going to be really an interesting one for me to watch this year because they were already going to be a team that maybe people, if Jed Fish was still there, I was ready to kind of sell high on them. Like, I thought people would kind of overrate them, be too high, but now we're going to kind of see if losing Jed Fish will really hurt them because they did keep Noah Fafita, and I'm just really curious, do they go 7-5 and flame out, or was Fifita the real deal and kind of kept that team going, and they're able to maintain that 19th or better rating.
And Brent Brennan's a very solid coach, so I
kind of
believe in him inheriting a solid roster. Speaking of Jed Fish, I think this could be kind of a year zero at Washington. They're 130th in the country in returning production, lose just about everyone on offense to NFL graduation transfer. But because they were so kind of like Michigan, because they were so good last year, they didn't drop a crazy amount. They're 29th in preseason SP plus. And, you know, they brought in a decent transfer class. Fish brought some guys from Arizona. So maybe they have a better chance than I think of being good, but I don't know. Like, I just 7-5 kind of seems like the reasonable expectation to me. And I just would be pretty surprised if they compete for a playoff.
Yeah. And, you know,
with the expanded
the Big
12
10. Season. Yeah. That's be tough. Tough sledding. All right. So I guess one thing my last point was I just kind of looked at also his top returning production metric, and I just looked at the top five teams. You had Virginia Tech was number one. They're 30th in SP plus, and they're just kind of fall into that group of ACC teams that could beat anyone. And I kind of like them the way they finished last year. Drones really inspired that offense. They improved. Iowa State, you touched on their second returning production. They should improve. Nebraska is third.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they're like 39.
Bowl game.
Yeah, they're over under 7.5. What are we doing? Ryan would be under, like, laying everything. But
how many times Nebraska hasn't made a bowl game for however many years in a row?
Yeah.
And have they ever had a win total that's below 6? I don't think so.
Yeah, I feel like it's always
this
been
year?
6 or 6.5, like 6-7. I don't remember 7.5. I don't know. Maybe I'm just.
But you know, this is high, but it is kind of crazy.
Yeah. So, but anyways, like, it's a testament to that they kept Tony White on defense. Their defense should be good, and they return a lot. But yeah, and so they should improve, and SP plus correlates that way. Oklahoma State is fourth in returning production. We talked about them. They're projected to really improve. And then Virginia, fifth, similar. I mean, not supposed to be great though or anything, but there is, more often than not, when you obviously correlate returning production, it should lead to somewhat better results the following year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there's our quick thoughts on SP Plus. Thank you for checking out this episode of the College Football Bros. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, of course, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Leave us 5-star review and give us a written review on Apple Podcasts. We like to read those. And you can subscribe to our Patreon as well. We've got a backlog of bonus episodes there, and plan to do some fun stuff with the patrons this off season. So would appreciate that, and we will talk to you next week.